Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, welcome back. Hope you're doing well. Today it is Theology Thursday, as it is every week. And so we're going to dive into that part of the pond, that part of the pool, today in the new studio with our very first in-studio, new studio guest, Pastor Rodney Finch from Calvary Chapel, Cary, North Carolina.
Whoop, whoop.
You're it, dude. You're the first guest in the new studio.
I feel like I'm the first. It's nice and clean and sanitized.
As far as they can see.
You should be shaking as far as they can see. Look, I'm throwing you one here. Nice and sanitized and we're almost social distance.
Almost,
maybe just a foot two.
Yeah.
But it's all good. Good to see you. This is really good looking.
It's good to have you. Great to,
thank
it's
you
great
so
to
much.
Have you here. You make it even better looking, so I appreciate you being here. We were talking a few minutes ago, and then we're going to talk about unity today because Rodney and I were talking before the show started. Neither one of us has seen this much disunity in the church really since 2016. Trump caused it, of course, and then
blame it on Trump.
And then we get to this season. We've got COVID. We've got Black Lives Matter. We've got all kinds of disunity in the church. So we're going to talk about unity in the church today from a theological standpoint, and it's a very, very important topic. We tend to shoot our own, and not that our goal is kumbaya, and there's never any dissension, and there's never anything to argue about. That's ridiculous. That's not what we're after. And by the way, unity isn't the ultimate thing. The gospel and the glory of God is the ultimate thing. So we're gonna unpack all that.
Mm-hmm.
But before the show started, I was telling you about the first time I did radio with Bishop Wooden. And we got into this, and you wanted me to ask you this question, because I asked Bishop Wooden, I said, okay, since we're going to be brutally honest here, how do you want me to refer to you? If I want some of my friends or somebody to know that you're not white, is it African-American? Because I would oftentimes think, well, how far back do I have to go to actually find somebody that in your family that came from Africa, even knowing that probably genetically, if we go back far enough, that's
right.
Going to be there.
That's honest.
Or black, but black always sounded to me a little bit rough or short or not sensitive. I was worried about that. And then I told him, I'm pretty sure that I shouldn't refer to you as my Negro friend because the 1950s are over and that's just passé and wouldn't be a good thing to do.
Right.
So how do you handle that one?
You know what? I don't. I mean, quite honestly, I really don't. Who cares, bro? First of all, why do you have to? I mean, why does anyone have to kind of, you know, qualify their relationship or identify? You know, we live in all this culture of identity politics.
Yeah, yeah.
And it works our way into everything that we say and do. Listen, I like what somebody said. Call me anything, but don't call me late for dinner. How about that? How about that?
That's good.
Don't call me late for I'm about to say a burger, but I don't eat much beef, but don't call me late for no salmon.
Yeah,
how about that?
Yeah, how about that?
I mean, what is it? What is it?
Yeah.
It is what it is.
And again, I think for us in the church, and I think the unity of the church, Jesus said, if you, they'll know your mind by the way you love one another.
That's right.
And right now, and I just experienced this last night on my Facebook page and into this morning with an issue with my own church and some decisions they made and people blew up and some of it was pretty, some of it was ugly. And there's a lot of disunity in the church right now, and
mm-hmm.
more so than I've seen since Trump's election when the church was split over that.
Mm-hmm.
So how are
mm-hmm.
things going at your church, at Calvary Chapel, Cary, relative to the issue of unity in this crazy season that we're in?
I don't. That is a really good question. And I think that it's a question that I think every pastor in this culture is reckoning with every day.
Yeah, yeah.
How things are going. How are the people? In our church, I think you already know this, but for those viewers, we have a very multicultural church. I would say our church is probably 40% black, 60% maybe 40% white and, you know, whatever, 20, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And,
but pretty diverse.
Very diverse. Oh, yeah. So when COVID, you know, began, you just had this real great divide. And I, quite honestly, Steve, can we talk?
Yes, please.
Can we like be honest? And those of you that are joining us,
you know where you are.
This is not that show. Okay, so if you want all the right answers, this is not that show.
That's exactly right.
Okay, you want to be conditioned. This is not that show. Okay, so I think that people are dividing based on what sources of media they tend to digest.
Yes.
On a regular basis. And that I see that, and that's quite unfortunate, I think, because and we can get into this later, but we certainly want to have a biblical view, not a world view. And so I see that to be happening.
Yeah.
So how is it going? I mean, I think, you know, when I opened the church, actually, when the governor's order was overturned and by the judge, and I literally, that was on a Saturday at 5 o'clock. I'll never forget it because I actually texted you and said, "Can you give this to me in plain?" You know, I'm not.
Are we allowed to meet tomorrow?
I said, Steve, can we meet, bro? What's going on? Can you interpret this for me?
Yes,
and he goes,
yes.
"You can technically have church if you want." I literally went on Facebook. You probably saw the video and said, "We're having church the very next day."
Yeah.
So the very next morning, I had like 20 guys in the church. They're sanitizing. They're wiping down. They're wiping everything, the floors, the toilets. Everything is all wiped down, and we had church that very next day, and about 60 people showed up.
Yeah,
and that was a blessing. But I, at the same time, it was really interesting because I'm then getting messages.
Yeah,
that I don't care for the people. That I am, you know, because I'm opening the doors of the church. That I want grandma to die.
Yeah, yeah.
And these kind of inflammatory things. Listen, I'm a pastor. I'm a shepherd. I spend my life helping people to live.
Right.
Not only, you know, live eternally, but I want life, not just existence. Yeah. I want people to live. So that could be further from the truth. So, and then I started to see people beginning to divide even more. And then with the social media platforms, people are being, you talk about a disunity. I'm getting ahead of our conversation.
No, it's fine.
So is it going? I think it's going, quite honestly, I think it's going pretty well. I mean, our services are, we're about to go to two services. We're seeking the social distance, and it's going well. I'm hoping that it can even go better as we talk about children in the next coming months or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think it's going fairly well. I think most pastors will probably tell you it's going well. Great. I don't know. Great means COVID needs to go. COVID needs to go.
COVID needs to go.
COVID needs to
go. We need to start chanting that.
Hashtag.
Hashtag
COVID needs to go.
I'm down with that, bro. We're talking to Pastor Rodney Finch, Calvary Chapel Cary here in the Raleigh-Durham Chapel Hill area. And this is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. Theology Thursday, we're going to keep talking about unity in the church. What's your role in that? What's my role in that? Does that mean we should never argue? We'll talk about that when we come back right after this.
When we come back. So what are we waiting for?
Welcome back at Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, Theology Thursday, talking to my good friend, Pastor Rodney Finch, Calvary Chapel Cary, in, here in the North Carolina area, Raleigh-Durham Chapel Hill. When did Calvary Chapel Cary start?
1995.
And this is Calvary Chapel. If you guys know, I did stuff with Greg Laurie for years. That's the same Calvary Chapel.
Correct.
Which really came out of the Jesus movement and Chuck Smith.
Mm-hmm.
You know they're making a movie about that right
now. I do know that.
That's pretty exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And just a dynamic church, you do, and a diverse church. And so COVID obviously caused some problems. You guys opened up as soon as you could. We were talking about that before, and that caused some disunity. And then I'm sure the Black Lives Matter, has that been an issue that's caused some issues at your church?
Oh, yeah.
Were you thinking, I wasn't going to bring that up?
I didn't expect you to. Don't ask me why.
You know me better than that,
bro. You know, it really hasn't caught, well, I have to be honest and say, I think it probably has.
Yeah.
I haven't had to address it publicly.
Okay.
And we'll leave it there.
Yeah.
I haven't had to address it publicly, although I think the time may be at hand. We'll see what the Lord says, but no.
Yeah. Theologically speaking, how should we gear our minds as Christ followers in terms of unity within the body? That's, of course, unity within the local body of Christ, but unity in the larger body of Christ. How should we approach unity theologically?
Oh, man, that's a big question. How should we approach unity? Well, first of all, I think in order to even approach the topic of unity, you kind of have to understand that we are one.
Yeah.
That we are one. Unity, You know, yes, we have to, we need to create unity by many things. But first of all, we have to understand that we are one people. That when Jesus died on the cross, he made one new man. That would be, you know, that would be Christ followers, Christians. And I think when we understand that we are one, then we, then it's easier to strive and endeavor for that unity that the Bible talks about.
Yeah.
You know, but
we are already one. We're not striving to be one.
That's what I'm saying.
We are one.
That's what I'm saying. And so for theologically, we have to understand that God, by his son Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, has made us one. John 17, you know, the high priestly prayer, as Jesus prayed for the unity that we would understand.
Right, yep.
Right? You going to make me preach?
Yeah, man, that's
okay,
why you're here.
We would understand that we are one. We don't have to create oneness, if you will. Now, what we do have to do is maintain the unity.
That's good, yeah.
We have to maintain the unity of the Spirit.
And the unity of the Spirit is, was one of the most shocking things in the first century church.
Because
you had this cast of characters that would never be in the same part of the bus.
Correct.
They would never be in the same building.
Correct.
They wouldn't even be in the same zip code.
That's correct.
We got Jews and Gentiles.
Gentiles.
We got rich and poor.
Yes.
We got slave and free.
That's right.
We have men and we have women.
Yeah.
And women of significance.
And women in places of leadership.
Right.
I mean, we put women in places of leadership. You have blacks.
Right.
And I think a lot of people don't, or perhaps people don't know, that there were black people in the church.
Yeah.
In the early church.
How about it?
They don't know that. So I think that people look at the church today and how church has become so segregated, which is really unfortunate because throughout our history, the church has become segregated. And that's unfortunate because the church has always been united. The church has always been a diverse church. The church has always been a multicultural church.
Yeah.
Because people in the early church understood that they were one in Christ. To become a Christian is to leave one and to go toward another, to leave the world and to be placed in Christ. And when we're in Christ, the color of your skin absolutely does not matter.
Right.
I'm going to tell you something real quick right here. So many years ago, my pastor, I went to Calvary Chapel. This is 30 plus years ago now. I come from the Pentecostal church, Church of God in Christ. You know that.
Preach it, bro.
Okay. Church of God in Christ. We shout, we dance, holiness, speaking in tongues, you name it. We did it. Church was awesome. Okay. So then I leave Calvary Chapel. I leave the Pentecostal church and I walk into my very first Calvary Chapel. It was all white. It was about 250 people and it was all white. And they were playing this song called Behold. It was a joy, 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 joy. In the house of the, it had this real kind of
right.
And so all the white people were sitting there and they weren't doing anything.
Nothing.
They weren't clapping. They weren't joyous. So my wife and I, we're there first Sunday, all dressed up, suit, tie, my white hat, gloves, you know, the whole nine. Because you come from Church of God. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You come from Church of God in Christ, you better be dressed.
Yeah, oh yeah,
okay?
Man. Yep.
You don't go to church looking like that.
Sunday finest.
I loved it, loved it, loved it. My wife and I are hearing this joyous song, so we decided this church needs some Holy Spirit.
Ooh.
So we stood up, we started clapping our hands, we started, you know, enjoying the presence of the Lord. And then the pastor, he was white, the church all white.
Yeah.
The pastor saw my wife and I stand there all alone and dying.
Wow.
And he looked at the audience and he said, let's all stand. And when he said that, I went, I love you, man. I love you. So 2 weeks go by. We're thinking about going to this church. I call him up on the phone. His name is Bob Chappell. He's with the Lord right now. So I call him up on the phone. And I said, Bob, but you know, I noticed I love the church. There's all white people here. And we're the only black family. And the first thing he said to me, I'm not kidding you. He said, well, man, he said he was kind of country.
Yeah.
You know, he said, it's not about skin, it's about sin. I had never heard that before.
Yeah.
And I loved him for that.
Yeah.
Because he didn't say to me, well, hey, well, you know, you'll get used to the white people. He didn't say, well, you know, I've got a black friend. You know, like a black friend, like I have a zebra at home or something like that. I mean, you feel what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it didn't come off like that. He said, it's not about skin. And it was at that point, because I come from an all black church now to a we are the only black couple in the church. And I started learning in that church that the body of Christ is united and we are one in Christ.
Right, yeah,
and the color of your skin doesn't matter. If you ever insert the color of a person's skin into the equation of a relationship of any kind, that would be the definition of racism.
Yeah, yeah. Because you're putting all those notions on it and you're caging it in based on something that's physical.
That's correct.
As opposed to something that's, in our case, spiritual as believers in Christ.
That's correct.
And one of the questions coming in on Facebook Live is, you know, how do we try to maintain the unity of Christ in the church environment where we can have very different opinions? Mm. Sometimes differences on theology, mm-hmm. speaking in tongues, private prayer language, second baptism, whatever, mm-hmm. dunk, sprinkle, immersion, whether that.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got political issues. We saw this with Trump. Now we see it with masks.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can have these deep differences.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we maintain despite that? And, mm-hmm. and then how much of that do we have to go, you know what? Because I have plenty of conservative friends that, and I've said it before, listen, I don't know how you can vote for a pro-choice candidate and be a convictional Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Although I know plenty of born-again Christians.
Mm-hmm. Godly, loving people.
That don't come at that the same way I do.
Right.
I think they're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to be willing to set that aside and say, but you're still my brother or sister in Christ.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to be together forever. And mm-hmm. one of these days, this issue, abortion in this case, mm-hmm. isn't going to matter.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be on the other side of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So how do we kind of deal with those significant differences that we have?
I think we're going to talk about that on the other side of
the break. See, this is a guy that knows radio.
I think we're going to talk about that on
Here's
the other side of the break.
Here's that little thing on the other side. He's looking at me going, Steve, why did you even ask me that question when we are coming up on a break? And it had nothing to do with the fact that we're different pigmentation.
Right.
That was just simply bad radio.
Because he is clearly white.
Yes.
He's very white.
Thank you very much. We'll be right back.
We'll be back.
Hey, Finch, I'm putting his salvation on the line.
I do.
Does he know this secular song? There you go. You got it. Right. Love isn't always on time.
No,
do you know the band? Yeah, you got it. You got it.
No means no, I don't know the band.
The name of the band is? A bunch of people on Facebook Live know this. I know there's a bunch of people on radio know this. It's Toto.
Oh.
Love isn't always on time.
I didn't.
You did a pretty good rendition there, bro.
I did.
That was beautiful.
I sang a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
You got it. That's
a
good.
A little bit. I got a little gospel in me.
You got a little bit in there.
Yeah, a little bit.
Talking to Pastor Rodney Finch, Calvary Chapel Cary here in the Raleigh-Durham-Chapel Hill area, and actually meeting in person, doing that whole thing. So if people want to come.
Yes, we are.
If people want to come experience that, remind themselves what it's like. My wife and I were amazed last week. It's like that old saying, you don't know how much you miss something until you don't have it anymore.
Did you first go last week, first time?
Yeah,
in
first
a while?
Time.
Oh, we've been doing it for
and it was,
2 months.
It was awesome. So if people want to come join you this Sunday, what do they do?
10 a.m., just come. We're social distancing. We actually bought this real quick. We bought this unit that you spray, just walk and spray, like a vacuum long wand thing, and it disinfects everything it touches and dries in 15 minutes. So the guys do all the cleaning, and they're very good at that. But we're 10 a.m. We have praise and worship probably done by 11:30. We take a little more time to preach now because we only
have one service. Now, it's Calvary Chapel Cary, but for the people in the area, you're actually right kind of downtown Apex, right?
We are, Center Street, not quite downtown, but on the way downtown.
And people can find you on Facebook. What's the website?
Facebook is Calvary Chapel Cary, and then the website is cccary, cary.org. That's cccary. cary.org.
Got it. Okay, you had me look up this quote from Augustine. It's a great quote as we're talking about unity today on Theology Thursday. In essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In all things, charity. Okay, you guys probably have heard that one before. That's one that we should write it down. It should be on your smartphone.
That's correct.
In essentials.
Especially in this culture. Especially today.
In essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In all things, charity. Now, let me just set this up. Last night, I put a post up. My church here in town made a decision, opening, not opening. And then I shared that. And then people just went ballistic. It got kind of ugly. I engaged that mostly this morning. And I sit there go, in essentials, unity, and non-essentials, liberty, and all things, charity. There wasn't a lot of charity. I think whether you're opening or closing right now with your church on an individual church basis in terms of doctrine and salvation is non-essential. It doesn't affect salvation. And so in non-essentials liberty, there's not a lot of that right now. Mm-hmm. In all things charity, there wasn't a lot of that right now, mm-hmm. but in essentials. So let's work backwards. What would you say, Pastor Rodney, are the essentials? When we're talking about unity, there are hills to die on. Mm-hmm. So what do you think they are?
Well, we are always going to die as believers and Christians on what we call doctrine, or what we call doctrine. Doctrine is that which we understand is a foundation of our faith, that to remove one of those doctrinal blocks, to remove one of those doctrinal stones, our Christianity falls apart. For example, the resurrection.
Yeah.
You've probably heard it said that the door of Christianity hinges on the resurrection. So if there's no resurrection, there is no hope. And our faith is in vain. The birth of Jesus, the virgin birth, is doctrinal.
Yeah.
The blood of Jesus, sufficiency of that blood, is doctrinal. Salvation is doctrinal. The inerrancy of the Word of God is doctrinal.
Yeah, you all must be born again. Doctrinal.
You must be born. Must in the Greek language is must.
Must.
Must is must.
Right.
Like all is all. And that's all means.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
So in essentials, unity, we should all be unified in that.
Right.
Let's go through some what you would consider to be non-essentials. I mentioned one about, now some people will come back and say, no, 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 Steve, because the Bible says we must not dismiss meeting together. That's what it says. The Bible says that, but that's not essential doctrine.
That is correct.
So that's a non-essential.
It is a non-essential.
Okay, you're opening, you're not opening, you're closed, you're not closed, whatever. So that's a non-essential. What are some others?
What's a non-essential? Well, how about this? The exercise of the gifts of the Spirit in the corporate environment. That's a non-essential.
Non-essential.
That's a non-essential. Whether you speak in tongues or not to speak in tongues, that is the question. That's a non-essential.
I'd say church polity, how you manage your church.
How you manage your church. You know, I've often told people.
And the scriptures speak about these things.
Absolutely.
We're not saying that.
But we are saying that they're not essential to your salvation.
Right, right.
Okay? That's what we're talking about. So is believing in Jesus and the sufficiency of the blood of Jesus essential to your salvation? Absolutely.
Yes, amen.
Whether you have a time of speaking in tongues and interpretation set aside in your church, is that essential? It is not. Quite honestly, meeting in the church or in a home is non-essential.
Right. Amen.
I think there's a good argument, quite honestly, for meeting in homes.
Yeah.
There's a great argument for meeting in homes. I think there's also a great argument for meeting corporately in the sanctuary,
yeah,
in a larger gathering.
But
those are some.
But with those, we're supposed to have some liberty, meaning you go the way you feel led to go.
Correct.
And I'll go the way I feel led to go. I won't condemn you. You don't condemn me. And we're still unified in Christ.
That is correct.
Through the essentials.
That is correct. That is correct.
But here, now let's get to where it gets dicey. Politics, Black Lives Matter,
mm-hmm.
Black out your thing that one Tuesday, or don't black it out. Wear the mask. Don't wear the mask. Mm-hmm. And I'm not seeing a lot of liberty there. And
I see not a lot of liberty.
Let me
People
fall,
are going to their corners.
Oh, my goodness. Let me fall on my sword first.
Okay.
That I get upset. And sometimes because I have a platform, sometimes I'll do things here on the show. I'll do it online where I'm acting out of anger. I'm not controlling my anger. I'm acting out of my anger. And I just want to hit something, somebody, some organization,
no,
some church,
you.
Or some pastor.
Not
I know,
you.
I know it's
not,
a shock.
No, it's a shocker.
And so I struggle with that myself. And somebody emailed the other day. We're talking to Pastor Rodney Finch from Calvary Chapel Cary here in the Raleigh-Durham Chapel Hill area. It's Theology Thursday, talking about unity. Somebody emailed me the other day. They were kind of going off on me about something. And then they said, like, I remember when you said, if you voted for Hillary Clinton or if you're not pro-life, you can't be a Christian.
This is a message you received on social media.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Or email. I can't remember.
Oh, whatever.
And I was like, I don't think I've actually ever said that. I actually don't believe that. I struggle with a person that claims Christ and then empowers by voting a member, pretty much, you know, Democrats, but a few others, but mostly Democrats, that gives their vote, which I look at as a talent, you're investing it, to somebody that's not only okay with abortion, but defends it, promotes it, and funds it.
Mm.
Now, I really struggle with that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to say, therefore, you're not a Christian.
That's correct.
And as difficult as that is, Pastor, Do we have to have liberty and stuff like that?
We absolutely have to have liberty, and it is difficult. I got to be honest with you as well. I find it difficult to accept a Christian being able to support abortion, to support, you know, what people are calling a woman's right to choose.
Yeah.
I find that as a pastor, and I don't know many pastors that don't take this position, quite honestly, I find that very difficult. At the same vein, you know, I think it was somebody said to me a long time ago that I don't have a heaven or hell to send you to. And therefore, I really need to walk. Look, you need to walk in love and you need to walk in charity regardless, even if they're completely wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is what this is the problem in the church. You can certainly make a good argument and take a good position on abortion in Scripture. I think the Bible is clear about that. Mm-hmm. That God is not pleased with that. I think the Bible is clear about that. But that doesn't release me from exercising love toward you, even if in these areas of essentials that we just don't agree. And even from a biblical standpoint, you're wrong, but we still have to walk in love toward each other.
Yeah.
So no matter what it is, whether it's mask wearing or no mask wearing, or, you know, opening your church or not opening your church or whatever.
Wear a MAGA hat.
Hate Trump. I think there's just a whole lot. And I hold Christians to a different standard than I do the world.
Amen.
I don't expect the world to walk in love.
Right.
I don't expect the world to walk in liberty and allow me to have my position without, you know, the vitriol that comes from disagreement in our culture. I don't expect that. But with Christians, I also don't expect them to be ungracious and unloving toward anybody regarding anything.
Yeah.
Regarding anything.
That's good.
I don't think a Democrat. Look, the church is not political. The church is not political. The church is not Democratic or Republican or Independent or Libertarian. The church is the Church of Jesus
Christ. Well, once you do that, you lose your prophetic position.
You lose it.
Because as I say,
listen,
you shouldn't be really comfortable in any of these earthly mechanisms.
Correct.
We should not be comfortable.
So, none of them are perfect.
Like several years ago, I re-registered independent. Now, for me, because I have a little bit of a platform, that was a message I was sending to the Republican Party here in North Carolina. Because I said, listen, I'm not a member of either party. I serve a king. He's not up for election. He doesn't need your vote. He already runs the universe.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather be in that party.
Right.
And then that allows me to speak prophetically, or at least it's easier to speak prophetically to not just the left, which for me is very easy.
Right, right.
But also to the right.
Right.
To speak prophetically, so we should not be tied to a man system. We should be tied to God.
I'm not about a man or a man system, as you said. Not Republican, Democrat, Independent, or Libertarian. I'm about Jesus.
I'm all about Jesus.
I'm all about hashtag the Bible.
We'll be right
hashtag
back.
The truth.
So when the content is as good as it is today. Since I got Pastor Rodney Finch in here for Theology Thursday, talking about unity in the church, since the content is as good as it is today, that's why I don't open up the phones every day.
Ooh.
Because sometimes God just will bring guests or call, whatever, and I'm like, this is really important. I just want you, who's listening or watching, I just want you to kind of just quiet your spirit, quiet down, and listen. Just lean into it and listen and be a part of it. And engage, and we don't do that often enough anyway.
Right.
But when I open up the phones and stuff, which I love doing, but oftentimes it can be a disruption. It can take you down a rabbit hole or whatever. And sometimes that's exactly what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't do
this
it.
This is not that type of show.
Yeah, today. I don't do it every day.
Mm-hmm.
So when the content is really rich, and I'm being blessed by it because Pastor Rodney's in here helping us.
I don't even know if I said it. Thank you for having me, man.
You're very welcome.
I'm loving it.
I'm honored to have you. And so let's just soak in it while we can. We don't have these opportunities all that much.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about unity today. We were kind of bouncing off of Augustine said this probably in the 300s, 400s, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. In essentials, unity, and non-essentials, liberty, in all things, charity. So again, let's talk about the charity part. A buddy, really good friend of mine, very wise gentleman, a couple years older than us, Bill on Facebook Live brought this up. I thought this was a great thought. He said, let's just all agree to be unoffendable. not unoffensive, because the gospel is offensive. Biblical right. truth is offensive. Mm-hmm. To those who are perishing, we are the aroma of death. I always add, don't make it any worse by being a big jerk. But Bill just said, let's agree to be unoffendable. That would change the equation of our conversation. It would be an expression of grace in all situations. But man, we live in this cancel culture, outrage culture, offense culture. But us in the church, I think that's a great word. Let's strive to be unoffendable.
I do like that. As you were saying that, I was actually trying to think it through. It's the first time I heard it. And I do agree with that. Let's all strive to be unoffendable. Now, that, quite honestly, would be impossible if you are.
Yes.
I should say, especially if you're sharing the gospel, especially, you know, Steve, if you're speaking truth, you know, to a degree, I understand the sentiment. I totally understand the heart. And I totally agree with unoffendable. But we are living in a culture, and I think we have to kind of chat about it,
yeah.
where even to speak truth is offensive. Truth is offensive. So what? Should we shut our mouths? Because
right.
that would make you – that's the only position
exactly
you can
right.
take to be unoffendable.
I tell people – I'll ask people, hey, when's the last time –
I mean, what do you think about that?
When's the last time your Christianity offended someone?
Right.
And, and I said, because if nobody's offended by your Christianity,
you're doing something wrong.
Yeah, you're not doing it right.
You ain't saying something.
Not that we run around and I'm going to go offend people in order to validate my Christianity.
No.
But if you, even if you love well, if you're compassionate in the middle of this environment we're in now, mm-hmm. if you listen to somebody, mm-hmm. if you say, okay, Black Lives Matter,
mm-hmm.
I agree, all lowercase. I would like to talk about Black Lives Matter organization, and people just, you know what happens.
Yeah, yeah.
And so
yeah.
to me, it's like, hey, listen, yeah. you can be offensive yeah. by being self-controlled, not losing your mind,
right.
not sowing into the political environment,
correct.
Not getting all bent out of shape about it. And so even when it comes to politics,
yeah.
Sean on Facebook Live is like, well, what about a pastor that says, oh, we just got to trust God's will and Romans 13 and we should just submit and blah, blah. Even if you disagree on a political issue, which we can trace into the scriptures, we still need to show charity
that
and we still
correct.
Need to have liberty.
That is correct.
That's really hard.
That's why I love that quote from Augustine. I love it. All things charity. But again, to our point, you cannot speak today without being offended, whether it's the truth of the gospel or it is the truth relating to politics. Mm. If it's the truth about, let's just, you know, the truth about the Black Lives Matter organization itself. I mean, truth is truth.
That's
and
right.
truth is unalterable by definition. So, you know, we don't have that liberty to alter truth.
Yeah.
So yeah, we should strive to be unoffendable, but we are living in a culture where you will be canceled.
Oh, absolutely.
And you wouldn't be able to speak at all because truth is not accepted yeah. nowadays. As you know.
All right. I think this is somebody that knows you on Facebook Live.
Okay.
Steve said, ask Rodney about the gas station church. Is that germane to this conversation or is that one of your buddies just ribbing you or something?
I don't, Steve, I do not
know. How do you
know,
say Steve's last name? Uel. Y-O-U-E-L-L.
Oh, Steve Yule.
Yule.
Okay, Steve Yule.
Does
shout
that all
out.
Make sense now?
Shout out. He's in Florida. Shout out.
Cool.
He's in Florida. It's probably hot and sweaty and nasty down there.
Oh, my goodness.
Right now.
It's hot and sweaty and nasty
yeah,
up here. Okay.
Yeah, Steve, that's not germane. We have to talk about that
the gas
offline.
Station. All right, we'll talk about that post
that's
5
enough,
o'clock.
That's
if you're
another.
On Facebook Live, we'll hear that. Right
we'll
after
right
we
after
finish
this.
The show.
Okay, we'll do that.
So just kind of preach to us, teach us, lead us, help us to wrestle with all this division, mask, no mask, keep your church open, don't keep your church open, love Trump, hate Trump, Republican, Democrat. How do we, Pastor, work through this, live together, and love each other well? In essentials, unity, and non-essentials, liberty, and all things, charity. Help us understand how we do that. Because even sometimes, even in our own families, I'll have political disagreements with
mm-hmm,
our, especially
mm-hmm,
our two older
mm-hmm,
kids.
Mm-hmm.
And man, it's
mm-hmm,
hard.
Mm-hmm. We
it's
have
hard.
To grow up. People need to grow up. People are quite honestly like emotional babies now. I don't know what happened. People are emotional babies. We have got to learn, number one, that we are one in Christ. The person that you have a disagreement with in the church is your brother and your sister. We are family. And somebody once said it, and they said it best. You can't pick your family.
Yeah,
you are stuck with them, right? So we are family, number one. And families, like any other, you know, nuclear family, we have disagreements. And that's okay. We don't stop becoming family because we have disagreements. We have to understand that we are united in Christ. And unity does not mean uniformity. We don't have to think alike and act alike and dress alike and look alike and vote alike, nor wear the same hat alike.
Yes. Yes.
Or ascribe to the same positions, but yet we are still family. We have to learn to walk in love. Mm-hmm. And the problem is, we are talking about, here we are in the last days, Steve. You and I would agree with that.
Yep.
And Jesus said, in the last days, the love of many will wax cold.
Wax cold.
And lawlessness will abound. So we have to understand that we are called to walk in love. And the true believers, you know, are going to do just that.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to walk in love. And you're going to accept the fact that, you know, the person you're worshiping God with may not agree with you politically. And that's okay.
Yeah.
And they may disagree with mask wearing. And those that feel that they need to, you know, wear a mask. Well, how about this? Let's consider the weaker brother.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, what? People come to church, for example, even now, and I walk up to them. I'm a hugger. Anybody listening, y'all know me. I'm a hugger. I love to hug people and look you in your eyes and touch you. But I will ask you if I don't know you like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, do you mind if I give you a hug? Or, hey, I'm going to have an appointment this week. I had one earlier this week. Would you like for me to, they walked in with a mask on. Would you like for me to put on a mask?
Yeah, yeah.
It's okay.
It's okay.
If we walk in love, eat meat, not eat meat. I eat meat, you know, 1 Corinthians. I'll eat meat when I'm not around you if it offends you.
Yeah, that's right.
And that should apply to whether it's mask or any other situation in our lives that we need to walk in love.
Why do you think,
get to it?
Let me put this in very frank language that some people aren't going to like.
Ooh, not too frank.
Why? I think right now, walking in love and unity and showing some charity towards one another when we disagree on these are important issues and we disagree on them. I think we suck at.
Can you say that? Well, I can't say that.
I think we at this unity charity thing,
mm-hmm.
and we're so worked up. They're important issues. But they're not gospel issues.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we sometimes, I know I do, I forget how valuable our witness is to a watching world
and how we
deal with each other.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And we shoot our own, mm-hmm. right? I'm just as guilty as the next guy. Locked and loaded. Sometimes I pull the trigger. Sometimes I load the gun. Sometimes I hand out a bunch of guns.
Mm-hmm.
But oh my goodness, we really struggle.
Ready, fire, aim.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So why do you think we're so bad at it?
I think because people forget. It's almost like a guy today, I think on Facebook or maybe even yesterday, he was talking about Donald Trump and that Donald Trump mentioned 5 years ago that he does not ask God for forgiveness.
Right. Yep.
I don't know if you ever heard
that. I was in the room when it happened.
Okay. He doesn't ask God for forgiveness.
I don't ask it. Yeah. Have you ever asked God for forgiveness? I try not to give him a reason.
Then he said that, you know, look at this. This guy doesn't ever think he needs to ask God for forgiveness. And this was 5 years ago. By no means is this a defense of Donald Trump's. This is a defense of the scriptures that when, you know, we have to be careful that we're not so self-righteous or that we're so heavenly minded, we're no earthly good, or we forget that what did you say before you were a Christian?
Mm, yeah.
I started doing drugs when I was 9 years old, and I did them all the way through junior high and high school. And I would not repeat the things that I have said about God, toward God, about Christians.
Yeah, yeah.
God says in Psalm 103, verse 12, this is a good verse, y'all listen up. Psalm 103, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so shall your sins be forgiven. God does not bring up our sins to us and remind us of our sins. We should not do that to one another. We should always walk in forgiveness and love.
Yeah.
And not do that. That's not
so powerful.
God.
Well, we tend to treat each other. You ever had a dog? You ever had a puppy?
I have a dog now.
So I remember growing up because I married a cat person. But I remember when we got
Yikes.
Dogs growing
Yikes.
Up. Thank you. That the dog doing their business in the house, and my parents would rub their nose in the business to get them to learn. You don't do that. Unfortunately, I think here at the end of the show, we tend to treat each other like little puppies, and we rub each other's noses in the business.
Not good.
Trying to correct.
Not good,
no
not God.
Loving that. Pastor Rodney Finch, Calvary Chapel, Cary, God bless you, brother. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
We'll do it again. Is that cool?
Love it.
All right, awesome. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, trust me, he always used to say this, ever forward.